Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast. I am Hayden Gullis and today I am joined by a very special guest all the way from America and what looks like Ferrari's newly signed driver. We've got James Coker joining us today. James, welcome to the podcast. You've got some exciting news clearly to bring us, right?
Hayden, thank you so much for having me. I have a bone to pick with you, actually. You told me that I was supposed to dress up for this recording. And so I thought you also were going to be wearing a race suit. And now I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, sorry, man. This is just how we got to start life on the WTF1 podcast. We got to rope you into these experiments. But you look great. You look great. Don't worry about it. I think you look amazing.
This is like some sort of hazing ritual.
Initiation test to join the WTF1
clan. You're like, hey, dress sharp for your first day on the job. And then I show up and you're all casual in your quarter zip.
I can zip it up or down if you want. Where do you want it, up or down?
It's just personal preference. But happy to be here. We got a lot to get into. We're at the halfway mark of the F1 season. It's very exciting.
Exactly. I mean, so much has happened so far in the season, as well as, of course, an incredible silly season. But let's get straight into our kind of expectations going in and how that have kind of realization of the season so far. Because I came into it with no expectations. I thought, okay, it's going to be another boring season. Max is going to dominate. And whilst he is kind of clear in the championship, it's not been as plain and simple as maybe the standings look. We've had, in all that fairness, I think we've had a very exciting season.
No, I agree with you 100%. I thought we were going to have a repeat of last year where we were going to see Max, for the most part, win the mass majority of the races. And we were going to have like one or two races where, you know, Checo or a Ferrari was going to win. But it has been like an incredible season. We've had how many different race winners? We've had six different race winners from four different teams. We are starting to see the cracks in the armor at Red Bull. Mm-hmm. Like, they are not as invincible and bulletproof as we thought coming into this season. And it's been really, really exciting. And I think it's been great for Formula One and just race fans in general.
Yeah, I think this season has also been very important to kind of reestablish Max Verstappen as a great driver, because it's very easy for a lot of people to say, oh, well, he's in the fastest car, he's winning all the races. You know, it doesn't mean anything. Anyone could go win the races or the championship if they were in that car. But I think for this season, it's now clearly showing with Sergio Perez struggling and being further off. And we've seen it before, but not maybe towards this extent where Max is, I feel like the car is on maybe a level playing field, if not maybe a little bit behind the likes of McLaren and even now Mercedes in recent races in terms of race pace. But the ability of Max Verstappen has been able to put it back up at the front. And I think, you know, that is great to see, that a driver who people may just say, you know, it's all down to the car, which we've seen before with Lewis Hamilton, we've seen before with Sebastian Vettel. Anytime that someone goes on a dominating period, they're just kind of put into that box of, you're just there because you've got a good car, and then that is it. But it's really good to see this season that, no, it's not just that. Max Verstappen, even when it looks like they're not going to win races, his ability is still able to put him up there and fight for those race wins.
Yeah. Out of 10, where would you rank the season so far?
We're going out of 10. I think there's still been some races that have been a little bit on the duller side. I think certainly towards the start of the season, I think it really only started to pick up maybe at like Miami, but even then Monaco wasn't that exciting either. I still think we're at like a 6 or a 7 in terms of season. And I know a lot of people are going to come at me and be like, well, what do you mean? We've had six different race winners. What are you on about? I just think when you think about a lot of those races, Bahrain was quite dull. Jeddah was quite dull. Australia was quite dull, even though we had a different race winner in Carlos Sainz. But nothing really happened other than that. What was after that? Japan. What happened in Japan? I can't remember anything that happened in Japan. China as well.
I don't even remember.
Miami.
I will say, I think you're right. From a race perspective, like truly talking about the racing, I think you're right putting it at like a 6 or 7. Some of those races were interesting because of like the human interest pieces. Like Jeddah was interesting because everybody was essentially just watching Oliver Bearman, right?
Full Ferrari Miami kit, was like exciting. You are right now.
Yeah, exactly. Miami was exciting because it was Lando's first win. And yes, there was the perfect circumstances with being ahead of the safety car. But you're right. When it comes to like, there hasn't been a ton of races that were like super exciting mm-hmm. down to the wire.
Yeah.
Which I agree with 100%.
Yeah, I think Silverstone has been one of those where you're like, wow, this was incredible. What a great race. And yeah, I mean, you can't have a full season of amazing races. Otherwise, no race is amazing if they're all as amazing, yeah. because then, you know, you're just compared against each other and they're all just exactly the same. But I think, you know, we've had certainly the standout, which I feel like has got to be Silverstone. I think that's fair enough to say. Yeah. And I think a little bit of drama is starting to brew. A bit of excitement. We've had that with Austria, Lando versus Max, and maybe that is something to continue. I think that is the main conversation at the moment. Is Lando good enough to really challenge Max Verstappen? Is he there yet? And, you know, I think in terms of ability, he's certainly good enough. But in terms of, you know, being consistent and being ready to fight for a championship, I think only time will tell yeah. over the second half of the season.
I want it to be competitive, but I don't, in my heart of hearts, I don't think Lando Norris is good enough to beat Max Verstappen. Let's say we put him in the same car, like, you know, everything is sort of like even, which it never will be. I don't think he's good enough, and I don't think he mm-hmm. will be. And I'm sure a lot of British racing fans will probably hate me for saying that, but I just think Max Verstappen is too good.
They're all going to be like, who is this American in a Ferrari suit telling my boy Lando
who is this
Norris
American,
that he's not good enough?
Who's this American DTS fan?
I agree with you, though. I think these last three races have kind of proved that Lando is struggling when it comes to being ready to fight. You know, he made the mistake at the start, yeah. bad start, cost him the position to Russell, cost him a chance for the race win in Spain. Yes, okay, I was happy that he took the elbows out to Max Verstappen and said, I'm not getting out of your way, mate. Like, don't try and shove me off the right. track. But in all honesty, if he just moved slightly over to the left, went for a switchback, or just tried again a few more laps later, potentially would have got that race win and would have got more points there. Instead, Max gained the points in the championship. When you're fighting for a championship,
yeah.
you've got to think of the long game, not just about that one race. It's about the end of the season. And then Silverstone as well, you know, maybe it's a bit of a team. I think it's contribution of everybody that they all made an error. Sure. in terms of strategy for that final stint, and that's what cost them a chance to the race win. Because I think if they went on to another set of mediums, which I think was the other option, to go to a set of mediums like Oscar Piastri did, I think they would have caught up back up to Lewis Hamilton and taken the race win and would have finished ahead of Max Verstappen. So there were three races where they could have beaten Max Verstappen and gained in the championship. Instead, Max gained over those three races. And what I do like about Lando Norris is that he comes out into the press at the end and says, do you know what? It's my fault. I made this error. This is what I've done badly. And there's a little element of that where it can sometimes go too far and you can get yourself down and put sure. yourself in a rut. But I think as long as you hold yourself accountable, go, okay, these are the mistakes I've made. These are where I'm not going to make mistakes again next time. You can become a better driver from it.
Yeah, I think credit to Lando Norris is he has shown a lot of humility, especially this season when he's been so close so many times at a race win and just hasn't quite been able to close. And of course, at Silverstone, it wasn't entirely his fault. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he decided to stay out one lap more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that kind of like screwed him
yeah.
and his attempt at going for the race win. So he's shown a lot of humility. Credit to him. I think like both McLaren drivers like are very composed and professional, and they're both young, so like hopefully they stay there for a long time. I honestly think like I could see Lando and Oscar there for 5 to 7 years, the same way I could have seen Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz at Ferrari for 5 to 7 years. So as long as Lewis Hamilton decides not to go to McLaren,
maybe he just wants to end his career where he started it, and one of those boys has got to make room for him. You know, I've really liking Oscar Piastri this season. I think he's developing and maturing just like he did last season. And I yeah. honestly do believe that a race win is coming for him this season, and I so hope that it happens.
He's like an old soul. I feel like he's like a... I feel like he's like a 54-year-old man stuck in like a teenager's body.
Yes, yes, fully 100%. He's already basically married off. He's had a sweetheart girlfriend since he's been in like secondary school, I think it was. So he's smitten over there.
Right.
He's not out partying every single weekend. You know, he's just very calm and relaxed, and he's just doing these little looks to camera, and that's his humor.
Yeah.
And it's,
I feel like nothing impresses him. I feel like nothing fazes him. He's just like so cool, calm, and collected, which is like very surprising for somebody as young as he is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to when he does finally win a race because I want to know what his team radio would be like. Does he go full crazy or is he just like, yeah, good stuff, team. That was good. Thanks, guys.
I think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be like, yeah, all right, good job. What's for dinner?
Sounds about right with Oscar Piastri. That's the two McLarens then. I think they're looking very, very strong. And with the car improving, yeah, I think that race win is going to come this season. When? I don't know. Do you want to take a prediction? Do you want to take a stab in the dark when Oscar Piastri is going to win that first race?
Oh, I don't know.
put you on the spot.
Coda? I'm just like
throwing Coda. Okay, you get Coda. I'm going to go with a potential... Oh, I'm going to go Spa. Let's go Spa. I think Spa would be quite nice. I'm going to go quite soon. I'm saying it's coming because he was right on the back of Lando before he made that error. The team made that error to go one lap extra in the wet conditions or going on to the wet tyres. And I, you know, think that it's there. It's there for the taking. But they'd also have to watch that. If they do want to try and challenge for the Drivers' Championship, they need to, you know, put their eggs in one basket. And that's, at the moment, got to be Lando because he's got those championship point lead over Oscar Piastri.
Unpopular opinion. I think Oscar Piastri is going to be a world champion. That's not the unpopular opinion. I think he is going to win a world championship before Lando Norris.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? I can see it happening. I think if Lando doesn't challenge this year and put himself in a position, every single year it takes a little bit longer. Oscar Piastri is becoming a little bit better. And I've said many times on this podcast that I think Piastri's biggest weakness is his time management. He kills tires too quickly and he struggles in the second phase of stints. As soon as he sorts that out, oh boy, he's going to be an absolute demon. And Lando Norris better watch over his shoulder because he's going to have somebody, you know, fighting for it. And if the McLaren become the top team, that's something that I'd be really excited to see because we've missed that with the Red Bull where Max has dominated and moved away from Sergio Perez. If McLaren become that top team, Lando versus Oscar Piastri, even if they are the dominant team, we've got two teammates fighting for a championship, which would be really cool to see.
Yeah, it'd be super exciting. Once he figures that out, it's over for you, Jose.
Aussies on top, Britain in the mud. What about Mercedes then? Because they've really come back this season.
What a surprise. Like, you know, they started off this season just like a total mess. Like, even Lewis Hamilton, like, publicly talking about the contempt he had for that car. Like, we all have seen the Hot Ones clip where he's like, when was the one time you've struggled most with the car? And he said, right now, which is like such a dig at his team and the people that work like such long hours to craft like the perfect car for him and George. But I don't know where these upgrades came from. You can probably speak on a technical from a technical standpoint more than I can. Like, where did this come from?
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I can't speak from a technical standpoint because I just look at when a car gets released each season. All right, I'm not like, oh, look, that end plate is at a 45 degree angle and that is looking very good for next season. I'm like, yeah, those colors look pretty. I like that. That's as far as my expertise goes when a livery and a car reveal is revealed. There's some cool things to listen to when you see that, okay, upgrades are coming and a team's putting in a lot of effort. But, you know, you could bring a load of upgrades to one race and another team could bring one upgrade and all your upgrades fail and make your car slower. And that one team does one upgrade.
Yeah.
And they actually end up improving the car. So it's difficult really to understand what is that main reason. But I guess with the way that the regulations work, then that teams are allowed to basically catch up to the top team. The top team has more hindrance in terms of wind tunnel time and money that they can spend, whereas the the teams further down the championship have more wind tunnel time and then have more time to make those upgrades and have that possibility to catch up. And I think that's what we're getting. We're getting a lot of cars getting very, very close to each other, that it is becoming very much down to drivers and which drivers are, you know, going to come out on top. But one thing I will say about Mercedes is it's very interesting that Lewis Hamilton has started to do a lot better since that email went around or that email to the team of like, stop hindering Lewis Hamilton, and that all blew up. And then since then, Lewis Hamilton got beat Russell, I think, in qualifying. He's got a race win. So yeah, it's quite interesting.
He was looking quick in Canada too. Mm. He was topping all the practice sections in Canada, and then there was an issue in qualifying where I think he finished like seventh. But yeah, I feel like since Canada, he's been very, very strong. But I agree with, I'm the same way as you. Like, I could look at a car and I have no idea whether it's fast or not. It could be like, for me, it could be like a dildo on wheels, and I'd be like, looks pretty fast.
Well, I mean, you would have loved the 2014 season then, because that was a lot of dildos on wheels. those regulations that came out, they were looking very, 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 very worrying for a lot of cars. I mean, especially if you look, I don't know if you know, if you were watching Formula One then, but the 2014 Lotus, and I'm going to say the 2014 Toro Rosso, those two had a head-on shunt, a little baby F1 car's being made.
The Dutch tips.
One or two tips.
I love it. Speaking of, should we move on?
I think we should move on.
We're getting silly, which means we should now talk about silly season.
Yeah. Let's talk about silly season.
We all know last year was a huge disappointment. We were expecting things to go crazy. We were expecting like a lot of seats to like end up looking different, and like really nothing changed last year, right?
Yeah.
And we were hoping that silly season would be the saving grace for Formula One fans, because last season was not competitive at all. Like, it's like we needed something. We needed something to keep us interested. And silly season did not deliver. But I feel like so far, it's been really exciting.
2023 was a season that will just go down as a forgotten season, unless you're a Max Verstappen fan or Max Verstappen. The only thing that people remember about that season is all the records that were broken. Everything else?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened in a race? No idea. Do you know what happened here, there? No idea. So, you know, we had that. We sacrificed 2023 to have 2024 to be like, right, straight away, Lewis Hamilton's like, let's get this season kicked off. I'm going to go Ferrari, which means you've been demoted to the third driver role at the moment. So I'm sorry that happened to you. Carlos Sainz is still without going anywhere, and he's still waiting to announce. I think he's just teasing. He's just edging every single team. He's just like, I'm going to go here. Here's the content. No. Should I say, unlucky, see you next week, maybe next week.
Carlos Sainz, the ultimate edgelord right now.
He is teasing everybody. James Vowles is a very, very frustrated man at the moment at Williams. Yeah. So we've had that.
Williams is, their team colors are blue, so it makes sense.
Does make sense. The Max Verstappen rumors to Mercedes, which, I mean, after the last race at Silverstone, I think it could be coming more and more an option if Mercedes carry on this improvement and carry on and do become better than Red Bull. You know, maybe Max Verstappen be like, do you know what? Actually, okay, I will go there. And I know he's got a contract to like 2028 or whatever it is, but contracts mean nothing in F1. Sergio Perez has got a 2-year contract, but we all know that, you know, if they want, they could put Daniel Ricciardo in that car. They could put Liam Lawson in that car. Do you know what? Screw it. Yeah. They put Adrian Newey in the car to keep him at Red Bull. He did a bit of running at Goodwood Why Festival not? Speed at the weekend, so chuck him in. They mean nothing.
It was so interesting. Silly season definitely came early this year, and the Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari announcement, it was so interesting because it really took the wind out of Andretti's sails. Yeah. Because I don't know if you remember this.
It's literally the day before, wasn't it?
Andretti's F1 bid was rejected, and everybody in media was talking about it and how unfair it was and how there should be 12 teams on the grid. And then Lewis Hamilton announced he was going to Ferrari, and everyone's like, fuck you, Andretti, get out of here.
Literally.
Sorry, Duncan, you're gonna have to bleep that out.
literally just completely forgotten about, which is such a shame, because I do still, you know, believe that we need more teams on the grid. You know, we've only got 10. I fully got into Formula One around 2010. I was always a fan when I was a kid, but it was more just like walking in and, you know, idolizing Michael Schumacher, but never really having the attention span for the races. And then 2010 was the main season I really got into it, mainly through the game as well. And it was great to have 12 teams on the grid. Okay, it sucked a little bit that three of those teams were 4 seconds off of the pace of everybody else, but it was always exciting if one of those teams got close to points, or when, you know, Jules Bianchi finally got a point for Marussia in 2014. You know, that was an exciting thing. If we do have another team come onto the grid, though, yes, we do need to make sure they are competitive. They are not 4 seconds off the pace like those cars were. But I'm fully here for another two teams on the grid and to make it to 12, which we have had before. It's just such a shame that maybe some of these newer circuits that have come on can't accommodate to 12 teams. But then that's something that Formula One should be looking at, to look at the longevity of the sport and look towards the future to say, okay, you want to be on the grid as a track? You've only got 10 garages? Sorry, no, you can't be on the grid. Make another two and we'll be in touch.
I agree. So we have Lewis Hamilton starting everything early. Now we're essentially playing like musical chairs and Carlos Sainz like is the boombox and we're waiting for him to like stop playing the music so everybody can then scurry to grab the open seats.
Literally.
Where do you think he's going?
Where do I think Carlos Sainz? I think every single week on this podcast, we're talking about where Carlos Sainz is going. And then every single week I say something
and it's new. Different.
Yeah, it's something different. Where would I think he's going? Where would I like to see him going? I'd like to see him at Williams because I do buy into the build-up of Williams. Okay, maybe not towards championship contention, but, you know, being a regular point scorer would be great to see. So I think I would go for that one. But then Alpine have had a bit more of a recent resurgence, so
especially since Flavio's back,
you know what, and you know, maybe he's got to weigh up, do I want to crash into a wall on purpose or not? So that's something that he's got to be talking about. Or maybe Pierre Gasly be the one to do Crashgate 2.0 under Flavio Briatore.
It's about time we brought crime back into Formula One. I'm glad Flavio Briatore is back. We need like a cartoon villain again.
He is a cartoon villain. Honestly, that man, I can't believe he's come back because, you know,
it's wild.
It was a full ban from Formula One. And then a little bit later, I'm like, do you know what? Actually, have a few years off. Come back to us. We need you.
I know Flavio Briatore would never do a silly little TikTok, but if they could get Alpine to do like a TikTok with Flavio Briatore and Pierre being like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Pam. Who are you? And then Flavio goes, I'm the owner of this house. Do you know that sound?
I do know that sound. I know exactly what you're about.
but it's weird. But now it feels like Alpine's also in the play. I would love to see Carlos Sainz at Williams. Mm-hmm. I feel like out of all of the options right now, Audi makes the most sense because they're offering him the most money. I feel like
that's a long
brand
plan,
wise.
I feel like that's a long term plan.
Yeah.
Which maybe Carlos Sainz wants something soon, I guess, after being in Ferrari, right?
In a perfect world, like it would make sense for Carlos Sainz to go to Mercedes for a year, be in a competitive car, and then switch over to Audi when they change from Sauber to Audi. But we know that's probably not going to happen. But I think he's going to go to Audi. Although if he does, it'll be very weird seeing him in chroma green next year.
him and Hulkenberg together could be a good pairing. I mean, they were pairing together, I think, in 2017 in Renault, the two of them. So I think that'd be cool to see once again in stake kick Sauber F1 team, something like that.
Drake F1 team,
exactly.
Whatever
Drake F1 team. That'd be cool to see, but I'd love to see a Williams. But I think also, whilst he holds the cards, I think Mercedes is actually the main instigator, and that's the one that holds the cards, because they're weighing up Kimi Antonelli, who they were then just like, okay, actually Kimi's not performing, so let's not worry about him anymore. And then all of a sudden
he did win his first F2 race,
exactly,
right?
Then all of a sudden he won the sprint race, and Toto's been like, this is a turning point, so let's get him back in the fold. And, you know, it just sucks that he's gone to Premier for the season because they're really struggling in F2. Ollie Bearman's also there. He's been signed for Haas, and he's way down in, like, 14th position in the championship because Premier just sucks. They're not good this season.
Yeah.
So,
which is surprising because they're usually, like, so competitive in Formula 2.
Maybe they're focusing too much on that IndyCar program.
Yeah, exactly. I do feel like Mercedes social media has started soft launching Kimi Antonelli.
Yep.
They've like been posting him a lot recently, just sort of like familiarizing the audience with him. So like if they do announce it, it's not like a big surprise. It's like the Formula One equivalent of like posting a photo of you holding your boyfriend's hand, but you haven't posted his picture yet.
That's soft launch. We all know. We all know the soft launch. Kimi Antonelli... For me, and I've said this to Amber, I've said this to many other people, but I need to get more validation from you, James. I feel like he looks a bit like a young Ayrton Senna.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
He's Ayrton Senna. Yeah. So maybe I'm hyping him up a little bit too much, but is he Ayrton Senna reborn? He's been talked up a lot.
Oh, I don't know. Everybody is hyping him up too much. I feel bad for him because, like, I think he's coming in with such unrealistic expectations. Like, so I'm sure he wants to drive in Formula mm-hmm. One, but, like, I think maybe rushing him in too fast could be disastrous for, you know, his confidence and his career long term. So
imagine this, though, if it all does go well, goes to Mercedes, has a good end second half of the season in F2, goes to Mercedes, and they carry on this, you know, trajectory to be up there at the front, winning races, winning championships again before the changeover. And yeah, then, okay, it goes over to maybe like a Ferrari or Red Bull back on top or McLaren.
Yeah.
But for that one season that Mercedes are on top, Kimi Antonelli fights for a championship in his rookie season, maybe does what Lewis Hamilton failed to do. That could be incredible. That could be,
and then he leaves a few years later to go to Ferrari because Ferrari desperately wants a good Italian driver.
Exactly. Oh my god! Yes, yes. So basically, Kimi Antonelli is going wherever Lewis Hamilton leaves. That's Kimi's career.
He's just
gonna
follow.
That's Kimi's career. So once Lewis retires, 1 year later, Kimi's like, "I'm done. That's my season. That's my race done."
Yeah.
So let's get on grid then. Who's filling those remaining seats? I am going with Alpine. Gazi's already locked in. I'm going to chuck in Valtteri Bottas at Alpine. I'm going to say
interesting.
Williams. Yeah, I think Bottas is staying. I think Williams is going to be Williams. I would go for actually. Oh no, maybe I'm confusing myself now. Williams Sainz. Sainz and Williams. Stake. Who do I put in stake? Kimi Antonelli, I'm going Merck. I'm going to go... Who do I go? Haas. Haas need a number one driver. I'm going to go Esteban Ocon alongside Ollie Bearman. And then...
That'll be a disaster if they pair Esteban Ocon with a rookie.
Esteban Ocon's going there. And then stake is going to keep my boy Zhou. He's staying in F1. Otherwise, I'm going to cry. I don't know who I've lost.
I hope Zhou Guan Yu stays in Formula One.
We've also got RB. RB will be Liam Lawson. And
yeah,
Ricciardo will go to Red Bull. And then Perez is out.
Okay. I think I have similar predictions. I actually think Valtteri Bottas is going to Williams. Okay. I feel like aesthetically he fits. I think Sainz is going to go to Sauber.
Okay.
And then Audi. I think Antonelli is going to sign with Mercedes. I think Doohan or Schumacher is going to go to Alpine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I think K-Mag is going to stay at Haas.
Okay. See, I've just not been impressed with K-Mag this season.
I haven't either. However, he is a team player. And yeah. I think with Ollie Bearman, I feel like it would be beneficial to have an experienced driver who is going to be helpful to him getting acclimated to Formula One.
Very opposite to what I've said then.
Because I think Esteban Ocon, pairing him with a rookie would be a bad idea. And I love Esteban Ocon. I think I love his story. I love that he came from like humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. I know he doesn't have the best history with some of his teammates, but I think pairing him with a rookie who like maybe doesn't have the confidence to stand up for himself is going to be detrimental to his development.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And then RB?
RB, I think it's going to be Liam Lawson. And then I agree with you that I think the way, if Checo continues this performance, mm-hmm. I believe he will be out at Red Bull. Ricciardo will fill that seat and Liam Lawson will be at RB. Yep. I'm also a big Checo fan. I hope he turns it around. But if he continues this level of performance, like with Max no longer dominating and winning by 30 seconds, they need a driver that's going to bring points to the table for the constructors. So I could see Ricciardo replacing Checo for sure.
Yeah, both McLaren and Mercedes have been catching them up in the constructors every single week so far. So
yeah,
it is very important that they look at that constructors championship and go, okay, we need to sort this out. And I just can't see anybody else going in alongside Max because you wouldn't put Lawson straight in there. I think putting a rookie straight in against Max Verstappen in a car that Max drives in a certain way that nobody else drives. And it just seems to be that way. Yep. Gasly struggled. Albon struggled. Ricciardo and him were kind of similar, but Max was getting the upper hand. But that wasn't when Max was able to fully get his clutches on the Red Bull car, because, you know, he was the one coming into Daniel Ricciardo's team. So I just wonder what will happen when Ricciardo goes there. But yeah, I just can't see anyone else other than Ricciardo replacing Sergio Perez at this moment. They're not going to put Sainz in because Sainz and Verstappen clashed, and also their dads clashed. So that's a situation that they don't want to deal with again. So yeah, I think we're quite in agreement there.
One more very important silly season question. Where is Adrian Newey going?
Where is he going? I mean, Jeremy Clarkson revealed at the last race that he is looking for houses in Oxfordshire and not in Maranello. Mm-hmm. So Oxfordshire is Williams, but then also there's a lot of teams in the UK. So it could be any team realistically. But Oxfordshire also could be Alpine, but I think Alpine's just like, unless Flavio's works some insane magic, which, you know, who knows, wouldn't put it past him. Alpine just the dark horses. But I want to say Williams. What a plan that could be. And maybe that's why, because, you know, originally when you heard Carlos Sainz going to Williams, you're like, come on now. Come on, Williams. Like, you're just putting your name in there as a joke. But then it's a serious contender. And if they do manage to pick up Adrian Newey, like, maybe he's just like, do you know what? I've done championship winning cars again and again and again. I've turned Red Bull from a team that was a backmarker to a championship winning car. I'm going to go do that again, just very quickly for Williams. And I'm going to help them out.
Yeah. About his legacy, for sure. And it'd be so interesting to see him go to Williams, especially because throughout the 90s, what made Williams so great were their technological advancements. Yeah. Like, they were developing technology on the car that nobody else had. Which is what gave them that advantage. And then, of course, like, Formula One would continually change the rules to take away their advantage. But it would be very, very interesting to see history repeat itself and have Adrian Newey back there again to give Williams that technical competitive edge that they have not had in a long time.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool to see. Will it happen? Probably not. I don't think Williams have the budget to get Adrian Newey, unless Adrian's like, don't worry about the money. I'll just build you a nice car, because we won those championships in the past and I want to do it again. Otherwise, Aston Martin looking hot favourites. McLaren also looking good for it. But I think, you know, I also quite like to see him at Aston Martin because, you know, I'm a, you know, low-key Lance Stroll fan. I kind of want him to, you know, probably the one
not
of the...
Not low-key. You're pretty high-key Lance Stroll fan. I think, you know, everybody knows
someone's got to be a Lance Stroll fan, and I am that someone. But, you know, it'd just be cool to see. I like Aston Martin as well, and it'd be cool to see him do it. And Adrian Newey has said three things that he's always wanted to do: Ferrari, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso. And at Aston Martin, he can do the Fernando Alonso car while staying in, living in the UK. So that is also a high possibility. And I think that's the more likely scenario.
That would be cool. I was hoping he was going to go to Ferrari.
Same.
But, it seems like that's not going to happen. But yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be either, it seems more likely Aston. They have the money to pay him. And he said he wanted to work with Alonso. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be really, really good for them. And speaking of Adrian Newey, he's also revealed his hypercar that he's designed that was a good one for Festival of Speed. I was actually there and was able to see it up close and personal. Oh, yeah? And it's a very strange looking car when you get up close to it. When you look at the underneath, you've got the sort of where the driver sits in the middle. And then either side, it's like there's two big pockets. It can easily be converted into a boat, I feel like. And then on the back, there's like it just kind of shaped into an M that I feel like if they just painted it yellow, then they would be sponsored by McDonald's. And that is a sponsorship that I can get behind.
I love that. Are you copping? You buying?
I think it's listed at £5 million. I said, is it available for me to pick up now? And they were like, yeah, sure. Come into the back. Let's sort it out. And then when they...
And then they locked
the door, but they had a little, contactless machine, and it came up and showed the price. And I was like, look, I'm gonna be real with you. I've got about 10 euros in my pocket, not even pounds, 10 euros. And that's all I've got. So if we just, you know, cut me a deal, because, you know, I can give it to you now instead of giving it to you later. I've got the 10 now. And they then just threw me in the bin. Instead of letting me out.
Hayden, don't they know you have 40,000 followers on Instagram?
Exactly,
that's gotta be worth something.
Right?
It's good exposure, right?
Every single one of those followers converts, if we put it into the converter, converts to at least $2 million. So
at least
they were having none of it. And they put me in the bin.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
You gonna get one?
No. I drive a Prius, so I'm all
that's
set.
That's fair. I mean, I reckon the Prius would smoke that any day.
In my defense, the Prius I have has sport mode, so it goes pretty fast. It's got pickup. Okay,
better watch out, Agent Nui. Better watch out. It was nice. It was a nice looking car. I'm not really one for modern cars, to be honest.
Yeah.
As an F1 fan, are you a car person or are you not a car person? Because I'm not a car person.
No, I'm not a car person at all.
And everybody always is surprised when I tell them that. They're like, but you love F1. What are you on about? I'm like, racing's different. Racing and cars are two very different things. And I can't get behind cars. I can appreciate nice looking cars. And I am a Mercedes safety car over Aston Martin safety car, which I know is also a big, big debate. But yeah, other than that, that's it.
I've been broke most of my life, so I don't really covet like luxury items. So like really nice cars have never been like, that's always been a cultural blind spot for me. Like I'm never going to be able to afford it. So like why lust after it? You know what I
exactly,
mean?
Exactly. What is the point of looking at it if you can't have it? Like a bit ironic wearing the Ferrari race suit.
Yeah. Well, I got this on eBay for like $100. Whoa.
100. You could have got a normal race suit for that, right?
No, a normal race suit's like $500. Oh, bucks.
Oh, okay. You can tell I know nothing about money.
Oh, this is all right. Moving on. They announced the 2025 sprint races.
Oh yes, they did, didn't they?
We got six, I think, in 2025. Yep. Has your position changed on sprint races? Are you pro against?
I still think they haven't found the sweet spot with it. I still don't know what it brings that is different to a normal race, other than here's the race. It's just a little bit shorter. It's just a little incy one because size doesn't matter. That's what F1 is a big push for. Size doesn't matter. Whether you've got a big race or a small race, it's entertaining nonetheless.
Before we know it, they're going to have like drag races. They're just going to do one race down, a sprint down the straight that's like 10 seconds long. But yeah, I just like, I've equated like a sprint race to being offered free food when you're full.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Like we already have a Grand Prix that weekend. We have a practice session. We have quali. We're probably satisfied, but we're going to watch it anyway. With the exception of the sprint race, I believe it was in China this year. Sprint races just haven't done it for me. Like, I just don't see the point of them unless, and I've talked about this before, and I believe Crofty also brought this up, unless you're going to have like an entirely different championship for sprints and you allow like reserve drivers to participate in it as well. It'd be a great opportunity for like rookie and reserve drivers to get some F1 experience without the pressure of being in the seat. I don't see the point.
Well, sprints is just a format that for me as an F1 fan that has only really before recently got into IndyCar, before that you don't really know of other series that you would watch would be F2 and F3, and those sprint races are reverse grid. And that is why there's a sprint race, because it's a reverse grid. So it puts people who are maybe a bit slower at the front. It gives them not a lot of time for those guys that are faster to catch them up and overtake them. But you also are rewarded less points because you're gifted that position. And I think that is the only way to make a sprint race work and be exciting, is if the grid is flipped.
I agree.
Other than that, it's literally just a tease of what is the race. And I think it's a little bit better in recent seasons compared to when it first came out and when they did the stupid pause the race and then we're going to carry it on tomorrow, because then you just basically got a little look at what was happening tomorrow and everyone was in the same positions already and it ruined the main race. For now, I still think it's better, but it's still way off where it needs to be. And I think the only solution really to make sprint races exciting every single time and be excited that a sprint race is at the location that you're going to has to be a reverse grid race.
I think you're right. Only time will tell. We'll see. Did you guys talk about the F1 trailer release last week?
I don't think we did. I remember, watching that at Silverstone, and then I watched it after, and I'm not sure.
What's your opinion?
Right, when you open up with the first bit of dialogue where it's like, Aston Martin, McLaren, Mercedes, and Ferrari are all quicker than us on the straights.
Yeah.
We need to build a car for the corners. We need to be ready for combat. And it's like, what are we putting, like, rockets on the car? Is this what we're talking about? Because maybe, maybe part of me is down for that. But at the same time, it's like, this is not F1.
That's pretty cheesy.
And I love, I saw a lot of people tweeting out the same tweet that was just like, what are they going to call the sequel, F2? Like,
yeah. Be a prequel. But in their defense, was it McLaren who had the front wing that had like the spike on it
last week? True. I mean,
so that was a car built for battle.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they needed it after being punted off by Max Verstappen in Austria. They were like, we need to get him back. We need to be on the upper hand.
I thought the dialogue was super cheesy, but I thought the rest of the trailer was really cool.
Yeah, I think
cool.
The old balls like, are cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for the movie in the sense of like the experience of watching the race footage. To me, I think it's going to be similar to the 1966 film Grand Prix. Have you ever seen that movie?
I haven't. I've seen clips of it. It always pops up on my timeline on Twitter or X.
So the movie as a whole, Grand Prix from 1966, is like an okay movie. Yeah. Like the dialogue is kind of cheesy. There's great actors in it. James Garner is like the lead in it. There's great actors in it. The dialogue's okay, but like for some reason, like when I watched the movie, I just didn't care about the characters at all. However, the race footage is unbelievable. And in Grand Prix, they film at Spa, they film at Zandvoort, they film it in Monaco. Mm-hmm. The onboard footage is unbelievable. And I think that's what we're going to see in this F1 movie. I think the dialogue and the characters are going to be kind of cheesy, but I think the actual race footage is going to be awesome. And I think that is going to supersede any like faults and drawbacks that the rest of the film has.
Yeah, I am excited for it in the same way I'm excited for like a new season of Drive to Survive. I'm not expecting it to be a season review or to be exactly realistic. I can take myself out of that element to be like, oh, well, this is not right. Like, I don't know if you've watched the recent film Gran Turismo, but they do the 24-hour of Le Mans, but it's the Hungara Ring. So it's just the 24-hour of Hungara Ring. It's not Le Mans at all. But I can take myself out of that element because you can enjoy the film rather than be, and then just go to your friends after and be like, yeah, by the way, it's not the right track. And that's it. That's all that needs to be said. You don't need to go on and be like, this movie sucks. That was Hungary, not Le Mans. Like, no. So I'm excited for it in that sort of sense that, you know, it's a cool bit of media that we get as Formula One fans that, you know, I never used to have that sort of stuff as a kid. You know, all the stuff that we get as Formula One now, like never used to get anything like that. It was just literally, you know, the race weekend of Grand Prix, that's it. See you next 3 weeks when the next race is. Now it's watch Drive Survive, watch this bit of content on YouTube, watch this there. So I think we're in a really, really golden era of Formula One content.
Yeah, what do you think the title of the F1 movie should have been?
Oh, I'm literally one of the worst of naming things. I am terrible. But like, I think a name is never good when it's first announced. Like, no matter what you name something, it's never ever good. When Rush probably came out, people looked at that and went, Rush? Well, that's not the right sort of name for a film about, you know, James Hunt and Niki Lauda. But I think, you know, now you think of it and you think, you know, that's a fitting name just because it's established with the film. So I'm gonna avoid your question because I can't. My creative juices are on zero when it comes to naming things. I feel sorry when I have kids in the future. 1, 2, and 3, that'll be it.
1, 2, and 3. I think the working title for the film was Apex, which I liked.
I think it's better.
I thought that was good.
I think it's better.
I felt and I think they changed it to F1 for brand recognition. They feel like they're just going to get more people to see it if they just call it F1. But I'm excited for it. We'll see. Also, as we know, the Olympics are coming up. Have you guys talked about Olympics and motorsport on this podcast?
Not at all. Is it something that we'd like? I don't know. It'd be something.
Yeah. Do you think motorsport should be in the Olympics?
Yes, because it's a sport. I fully always agree that it's a sport. Okay. You look at drivers when they do Qatar and they do Singapore and they are on the edge of collapsing. Like they are fitter than triathlon athletes. You know, they are on that sort of level. And I do think that there is certainly a place. It's just the right kind of contest. Because we have something kind of similar in the Race of Champions, where you have drivers from different nations go head to head in cars, and
that's a kart race,
no,
right?
No, it's a lot of different cars. So you could do it's in different locations. It's been in Sweden quite a lot recently.
Okay,
it was in Mexico a few years ago, and it's just a track that you kind of do a loop, and you kind of do, it's like I think it's kind of like a figure of eight track in which you kind of loop over back and forth with each other, and there's lots of different variations of cars that take part. Some it need a passenger, some you just drive on your own. And that's sort of the closest we've ever got to an Olympics-esque event for Formula One, where you race as your country or you race as yourself. But I still wouldn't know how to do it because, you know, amazingly, it would be like in a Formula One style. And Paris, you could do, you go to Le Mans or do some Le Mans circuit, but it has to be like spec series cars as well. And maybe it's a case of F2 kind of spec series where, you know, you still work on the setup of the car and the team is Team GB or Team USA. And the engineers are also from that country and they put together the car and work on the setup with the team. It's not just necessarily the driver who is a part of that country. But it, yeah, it certainly would be something that is really, really cool to have.
I think it should be an endurance race. I think it should be like a 24-hour of Le Mans.
I think that's a great shout, to be fair.
Each country is like is represented by like three or four drivers in that car. So
do you
let's
have to
say
drive
you had
a
race
car,
like that.
So you do it like GT style in GTs, and you drive.
Manufactured
so if you're
by
from Germany, you're driving a BMW. I don't know what we're driving in the UK. An Aston Martin. No, we'd have an Aston Martin.
If you're from Kazakhstan, you're fucked.
But how amazing would that be? And then like Kazakhstan, like. Somehow there's a big crash and they just drive through with a car that you know those cars you see that are just completely smashed up and like the steering wheel is also like half of it's missing, like it's just driving around something like that. That would be amazing. Safety would be
from Kazakhstan,
out of the window.
It's like a cardboard box on top of a skateboard.
Red Bull soapbox.
But okay, but let's say like you have an endurance race. It's sorted by country. Which country is winning the Olympics in motorsport?
Manufacturer has
you
to
could
be,
say Great Britain if you want.
I don't know in terms of endurance racing because you've also got to think of the car. Like if we are going by the car manufacturers from that country too, you've got to think about the car.
Probably the Germans.
I think the Germans would actually stand a really good chance.
Let's say they're all driving the same car. Which country it's solely based on driver's ability, which country is winning the motorsport Olympics?
I think, because you've got to think of drive, maybe the Netherlands, because you'll have Max Verstappen, you know, hasn't yet dipped into endurance racing, but loves it on the sim. And I think it is something that he will do in his career at some point. Nyck de Vries has recently dipped into endurance racing and he's doing decent. He's doing well in it as well. So
he did well at 20. His team, he was driving for Toyota. They did pretty well at the 24 hours.
Yeah, so I think he would be in that team as well. And I'm sure that there's a third Dutch driver that is already in WEC or WEC, however you want to call it.
There's also Rinus VK, who's from like IndyCar. A very good IndyCar
driver. I think Guido van der Garde used to drive F1, so he could be in a shot. I think he's doing endurance racing at the moment. So I think for me, Dutch, because I've never seen Lewis Hamilton or George Russell or Lando Norris in an endurance race, although I think Lando did do Daytona once upon a time. Other than that, the other guys, you would be like, oh, well, British, you know, you've got three drivers that are fighting at the front of the championship. Just because you're doing well in F1 doesn't always mean you can cut it in WEC, although Alonso has proved otherwise. So, but you know, I want to go on established WEC drivers, and I think the Netherlands does actually stand a really decent chance for such a small country.
I think France has a really deep roster of like strong endurance drivers, as well as I might go with Switzerland because they got right now, in my opinion, Buemi. Who like I think is the GOAT in endurance racing. Like I made a video about this yesterday. I'm like, is there a lot of? I was like, I asked, is there a driver in endurance racing right now better than Sebastian Buemi? And some people said maybe Kevin Estre. Okay. It was like, But like Buemi has like 25 wins, race wins in WEC. He has four WEC titles, 24 out of Le Mans class wins. Like I don't think there's anybody else driving an endurance who has as impressive of a resume as he does.
So we just need to find other Swiss drivers. I think Louis Delatraz, is he Swiss? He does, let me have a little look. Louis Delatraz is Swiss. Yeah, so Louis Delatraz would be in there with him as well because he does endurance racing too.
Nico Müller.
Nico Müller, there we go. So we've got a team. So I think actually, yeah, Swiss.
We did
actually
it.
Actually,
we did it.
WEC. That is a great shout.
Romain Grosjean.
I think Switzerland would say, do you know what, France? You can keep him over there. Where are those Nico Müller? Is he Swiss or is he definitely Swiss?
Yeah.
He is. Yeah, he is Swiss. Yeah. So yeah, there we go. Sorted. There we go. There are our Olympic champions. Our gold medal goes to Switzerland.
I know we need to wrap up pretty soon, but I do want to talk about one last thing.
I'm happy
all right,
to let you talk about this one last thing.
Amazing. Ralph Schumacher made a post on Instagram yesterday coming out announcing that he's in a relationship with another man. I personally thought it was amazing. I feel like it's very hard in the world of motorsport for a lot of people from the LGBT community to be open about their sexual orientation. There's a great article on Planet F1 that Elizabeth Blackstock wrote about how, it feels like a small step and a small action, mm-hmm. but hopefully it changes like the perception of queer representation in motorsport. So I thought it was great. I feel like I've mainly seen like messages of support for him, which I think is amazing. When I made a video about it, there were some really nasty comments, but I think that was to be expected. But do you think just this announcement is going to change at all, like perception of LGBTQIA representation?
I'm really happy for him. I'm really glad that he's comfortable to come out and to be himself. I think for anyone, you know, I think everybody should be allowed to be themselves. But sadly, you know, we don't live in a world right now where that is, where some people allow that. You know, you speak about the hate that you got on your post, and you know, it's frustrating that that is the world that we currently live in. But I'm glad that we have these people that are continually knocking down barriers. And you look at the Formula One world and you look at the motorsport world, and you know, you're right, there is a very much a lack of representation, and there's great, you know, people out there in the world. You've got Racing Pride, for example, who are the forefront for
co-founded by Richard Morris,
forefront for pushing this. But I think it comes down to in Formula One, for example, and you look at how many drivers there's been over the years, and you know, Ralf Schumacher, I think realistically is the first that I can think of that has come out of any part of the LGBTQ community. And I think that mainly comes down to sponsorships, you know, people staying quiet and staying, you know, hiding themselves because they're fearing of maybe losing a drive. Say, for example, a team is sponsored by a Saudi Arabian company, and whoever is working in that Saudi Arabian company says, okay, cool, your driver is part of this group and we don't support that, so we're not going to sponsor the team. So therefore, that driver potentially could lose their drive or not be picked up by teams because, you know, it doesn't align with their sponsors, which is a horrible, horrible world that we live in. So we need to continue to break down these barriers and, I think, you know, make a world that is more accepting.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I'm going to borrow from a joke about Jojo Siwa to talk about Ralf Schumacher now. Right now, he is, for the most part, just getting like messages of support, which is amazing. But in a week or two, people will hate Ralf Schumacher, not because of his sexual orientation, but because he's annoying and has terrible takes on F1. And that is progress.
And I think that is a great way to wrap up today's podcast. James, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast today. And I hope that we get to chat with you more. Let us know on whatever platform you're listening to right now if you would like to see more of James on the podcast, more of his American takes, and also what race suit you'd like to see him wearing.
Or less.
Because he's currently in a Ferrari one. Recommend teams that you would like to see James in on any podcast that he returns to in the future.
takes about 4 to 5 weeks on eBay to get one of these, so there might be a delay on it, but I will order it if there are enough requests.
Sounds good. Make sure you're following us on whatever audio platform you're listening to as well. Follow us on the official WTF1 channels, and we will see you next time for another podcast. Until then, have a great rest of your day.